welcome again to Taking a Stand podcast.
So last week we interviewed Nick Forrester, who's director of college ministry, and this was in our effort to get some helpful resources and wisdom regarding college age kids. This week will be part two of this topic, and for this podcast we will be interviewing a college student, Caleb, who has been attending our church. We really had a great conversation with Caleb even after the interview, and we just wanted to share here that one of the books that he did mention afterwards that he's been reading is The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, Cultural Amnesia, Expressive Individualism, and the Road to Sexual Revolution by Carl Truman. So he said that he's been reading this book, and it seemed like a really good resource to mention.
And I think it is available in our resource center.
Okay. Also, something that Adam and I reflected on after the conversation was that it was really refreshing to see how a lot of potential challenges might be avoided when you have a proper support system. Caleb himself seemed really pretty solid in his faith, so it was encouraging to see how he was able to minimize the negative impact of some of the cultural issues and think about them a lot more positively. So
with that said, today we have our special interview with Caleb Abbott, a Misericordia University student. Well, welcome, Caleb. We're glad that you agreed to do this interview for our podcast. And, you know, maybe you can just introduce yourself and tell our audience a little bit about who you are.
Cool. So my name is Caleb Abbott. I am a sophomore at Misericordia. So I am also a speech-language pathology major, so I'm in the five-year program here. I am originally from southern Delaware, so if you all go to the beaches, I'm about 20 minutes inland. I got connected to fellowship through Crew, which is at Miz, but we meet at fellowship. And then this past year, I've gotten to know Nick Forrester, the college men guy, and then also been involved in his Bible study. And right now, I'm a leader with Crew.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And yeah, thank you for interviewing with us. This is I think it's going to just be really valuable information, because as you know, we've been doing these podcasts where we're trying to just bring some awareness and understanding to some of the just real challenges to the idea of truth in general, but then most specifically to the truth of the gospel. So with that said, well, we were hoping that maybe you could give us a little view of what things look like from the inside. So have you experienced these challenges to your faith first? And then if so, what challenges have you experienced and what sorts of beliefs are being questioned?
Yeah, so full disclosure. So I got these questions ahead of time. So I was able to talk them over with some other students last weekend. So I'll be sure to clarify which ones are mine and what I've learned from other people as well. So I figured it's better to get more than one opinion on this. But one of the ones that was pretty common that we talked about was the integrity of Scripture. And so like what exactly that is, I suppose, that's probably one of the first things that gets questioned. Because I mean, if we're talking about the inerrancy of Scripture, if God like spoke this into existence, that's kind of like not necessarily stumbling block for us, but for other people and kind of sharing that. And then I guess on more personally, just going through faith, probably just dealing with sin in my own life. Failure is also a fun one. Not really, but just kind of coming to terms with the fact that we're not perfect and that's okay. That's kind of the point of the whole walk as a Christian. And that, just being able to grapple with that and to keep living and following Christ. And then there's also a few others that we talked about, like unanswerable questions. I'm more of like the cerebral type when it comes to theology and stuff. And I like to have all the answers and figure it out. And that's not really how it works either. And I think coming down to it, there needs to be a certain amount of grace with ourselves that we can't necessarily always find the answers. And I think that coming down on that is always a bit of a challenge, at least for me and the people I've talked to.
Yeah. So not a lot of challenges, just a little bit.
So, yeah, I mean, given this sort of situation that we're in, in academia today with the ideas that are out there, do you find that it's difficult to be known as a Christian at your school or in your classes? And, how would you describe what that's like?
So personally, Not at all. I mean, this is, it's who I am. It's what I would identify as first. There's more of a cultural difference coming the other way, and people like seeing me as a Christian, I think, because there's all those kinds of preconceptions of like what that exactly means for them. And I'm more than happy to sit down and talk with people about that and to clarify. Mm-hmm. But from my end, not really, actually. So I was kind of surprised when I was thinking about this question as well. Like, I'm set where I am in terms of like faith and belief in God and Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's great. Yeah. And it's good to see that you're sort of being the witness in reverse, in a sense, you know, to others around you. Right. Yeah.
So as we're in the postmodern era, the idea of truth is something that isn't as straightforward as it used to be. Now there is the idea that truth is relative more to the individual person. So what does that look like for you? Do you see that in your own life? Have you heard people, or your friends, professors, whoever, that use the terms like their truth or my truth? Or just refer to truth in this more relative way in order, like, to their experience?
Yeah. So I wouldn't necessarily say that I've heard it said as my truth a whole lot, like in passing, certainly. But I think that idea behind it is everywhere. I'm in this class this semester called Themes in Medical Humanities, which I know, I think you've talked a little bit about critical race theory. Well, there's a thing called critical disabilities theory, which is the same idea, the same underlying philosophies, but applied to like how disability has been perceived over time. And just in much the same way as like critical race theory, the experience trumps reason. And if you do not have the personal experiences that the individuals they're talking about have, then it doesn't matter what exactly you're saying, it isn't as valid or as worthwhile as what they're saying. And so you could be defending, say, an institution or decisions that have been made in the past that may have had necessarily difficult or harming effects, but because you weren't a part of the affected community, you don't actually have a real say in the matter. So in that sense, like, truth is very subjective there. It's much more of the opinion of an individual based on their experience.
So, I mean, along those same lines, you know, and you bring up critical race theory, and I think one of the underlying things that's happening in our culture is, you know, words and meanings of words are changing, and sometimes deliberately so, sometimes normally. But have you experienced any of this idea of what we've talked about it as called linguistic theft? Maybe do you have any examples of that happening in your classes or in your university experience?
Yeah, I don't know how much experience I've had with this. This was definitely something that I had to like think about a little bit, just because it's not something that hits me over the head a whole lot, until I stepped back with a couple other guys and were like, well, there's the whole concept of love and what exactly that means. Because like, once you go big picture with those kinds of concepts, it becomes almost obvious. Because if you talk about self-love or to love other people, what they mean versus what, say, the Bible would say, or what we would say as Christians, is very different. Like, there'd be more of an affirming love versus a corrective love. Like, are you trying to keep that person in where they are and make them happy with where they are? Or are you trying to make them better than they are and to help them move forward and beyond whatever struggles they're having? So I think that that's probably the big example that I would point to at the moment. Yeah.
That's really good. And I'm really glad that you went, like you said, you asked a whole bunch of people, or you asked some of your friends too, because that's just really really nice to have that information then too, from more variety of people as well. But I guess the next question is, are there aspects of your faith or questions about Christianity that you wish you knew more about or understood better? What would make you feel more equipped to defend your faith?
So this was another one that I had to talk with the guys about. I don't know if this was so much what we need to learn now, but what we wish we would have learned sooner. So at the top of that list was biblical sex and what that looks like, both as a single Christian and then going through relationships. and just the idea of eliminating the taboo nature that they have, that is very prevalent in our culture. Like, I've experienced that. Most of the guys I talk to have experienced it. And just kind of, as they put it, don't make it a weird topic. And just trying to normalize those kinds of conversations surrounding it to the point where the culture doesn't have such a monopoly on the conversation, mm-hmm. where like there is like a well-established Christian response that isn't hidden behind like modesty or any kind of like those notions. Mm-hmm. And then a different one that I kind of came up with earlier today thinking on this was biblical correction, or just what exactly it means to go and talk to someone about their own sin and to have both being willing to talk to somebody, but then also being able to receive it. Because mm-hmm. that's something that, I don't know, I wish was more prevalent both in my own life and then in the lives of others. So not necessarily just like I don't know, your stereotype of like the aunt that's involved with everything, but more of like coming from a place of love and humility and then having that kind of rapport with one another where you can pour in each other's lives and point out like these issues that you're having or you might not even be aware of, and to have that trust and I guess kind of like the comfortableness with being able to direct each other's attention to their own sin. So those would be the two big ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, thank you again for doing this. It's great to get this perspective directly from, you know, someone who's in the university, you know, since we're removed from it for a few years. But are there any, you know, anything that we could pray for you for? You know, we like to do that at the end of our interview. So if you have any particular prayer requests.
Yeah, just in general for us that are believers in this college, the burden of being responsible for sharing our faith as a believer and then helping others to grow in our faith while we ourselves grow and then also juggle schoolwork. It's not a question of whether we think it's important. It's just a question of our ability to wisely balance the two. And I think that that's definitely difficult for a lot of us because a lot of us do have the passion for leading and want to see growth and change, but certain things do get in the way and being able to be wise about going about this in a way that still honors God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Well, why don't I close us in prayer? And dear Lord, we just thank you today for this time that we got to spend with Caleb and getting to know him. We thank you for the witness that he's been in his university, and we just pray for wisdom and strength for him. We pray for guidance and your leadership in his life, that he could balance his witness and the responsibility that he feels towards that in his university with all the other work that he has on his plate, him and the other people there involved with Crew. And we just pray that your word would be known there, and that it would be known truthfully, that Caleb would hold to the truth of the gospel in his witnessing, and that would be seen by others, and that we can turn around this culture of false truth that's being spread out there, Lord. And again, we just pray that, you know, these insights will help those that are hearing this and give them encouragement and just help them to lean more towards your understanding and your gospel, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
Yeah. It was a great conversation. So yeah, thank you. I think this is going to be just really helpful for a lot of people. And just, it's really great to get the insight from people who are actually going through college right now, because I think sometimes it's hard to develop relationships, I'm sure, when you're in college, when you're in a church, for the church to see you or to be kind of feel like you're being seen, because you're only here for such a short time, for only a couple of years. And so I just feel, you know, this is just such a great conversation to have, that we can understand more of what the college age students are going through and the struggles and what we can be praying about and how we can be encouraging and you know, how we can support if we can. And so just really appreciate you having this conversation with us.
I'm so happy you asked me to come on. I can share what little I have. It's surprisingly quick, so that was good.
No, it's all good. Yeah, really good.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.